Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham. I ain't no Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you all up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy everywhere I look. I see you, some of y'all say you Egyptian. You can't read the hieroglyphics, you don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cuz you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found. But all your dates are carbon dated, and we know that's all. So what's the point of all your math when your equation is wrong? Come on, you ain't Egyptian. You ain't no Muslim. You ain't no African. Come on.
Tribes of Israel scattered to the four winds, to the four corners of the earth. One day, our Father will send His Son, and He will regather us from these nations, bring us back, reason with us, and get us ready to tabernacle with the Most High. I'm happy to be alive. He gave me another day to get it right. For all my other brothers and sisters, I hope the world and everything that's going on is treating you well. If you're working or living in these commandments, you know, that is a security and a safe haven for you. If you're out of harm's way, even as that day approaches where more and more stuff will go wrong, if you're keeping these commandments, they are a hedge around you. It's going to keep you safe, and it will keep you from being harmed and learning how to deal with your enemy. With that being said, we give all praises to Ahaya, Ashar Ahaya, we will go to our Father in prayer. And this is the manner that Yeshua taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and all the glory forever. We thank you humbly for everything you've given us. We thank you for the sun that helps Israel's bodies. We thank you for the water. We thank you for the iron that gives us oxygen throughout these organs. We thank you for all the things you've given to us in abundance that we have not been good stewards over. But we pray the things we do will be pleasing in your sight when it comes to judgment. And again, we'd like to say thank you for sending Yeshua. With that being said, amen. So be it. So the lesson I'm going to talk to you today is we're going to be looking at how to have a relationship when we're in the Spirit, having a relationship with Yeshua, having a relationship with the higher Shahaya, having a relationship with your wife, your children, your friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, and importantly with Israel, the body. We're going to start off with the most important thing of a relationship is, of course, with the Creator. We got left an example by Yeshua, but one of the things I was talking about for the last 2 weeks is walking in the Spirit, being able to recognize spirits, and then learning how to deal with them. And then last week we finished off with chapter 7 and 8 with Romans, just the individual learning how to identify what spirit or what law is at work with you. That fleshly law, sin, spiritual law that the higher has given us. So today we're going to build off of that and build a relationship. One of the things I want to say thank you to, because it was a rough week getting to this point right here. But I want to thank brother out here in Seaside, Brother Vortis. Got the fellowship of the last Sabbath day with him and his family. And a lot of the things I got from this lesson was some of the things I got to see from him and his family. And I'll share those things with you. I know for my Sabbath and my dealings, I've been with so many different people and families on the Sabbath day since I started this walk. And just spending that time along with him on the Sabbath day with his family was a true blessing. I've been in people's homes, with my wife, from Hispanic families to white families to Israel, ourselves. There was nothing like it with his family. Little things like couldn't even see a TV on. We had young kids quick to turn from their play to get into the Spirit with the family, praising, singing to the Most High, all these things they did. And it was just a beautiful sight to see. So when I went to sleep, put a vision, a little something on my heart, and I was able to see something as far as the future of my family. And I was able to see something as the vision of my family. So it was a good thing for me. So that vision I seen, we're going to start off at Joel chapter 2. So we look at Joel chapter 2. And the first thing I want to read to you, verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion,
and sound the alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh and at hand. So right now we know, since we're Israel, we've been in these word long enough that when he's talking about the day of the Lord, he's actually talking about everything getting close to that judgment, all these things that's going to happen, all the things that's been prophesied coming to pass. It'll be a harmful and miserable day for some and rejoicing for others. So when he talks about the day of the Lord, we know what he's talking about. We're going to skip down to verse number 26. We're going to go to verse number 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am. So right there, we're looking at the day of the Lord, verse 27, and it says, ye shall know that I am in the middle, in the midst of Israel, and that I am. So Ahaya Shar Ahaya, as we would say in Hebrew, is in the midst of Israel during all these things that's going to happen. And that's a wonderful thing. I wanted to show that out. I made a little short little video, just some music that me and my brothers went through and worshiped, and I put that verse in there. But that wasn't the main reason I want you to pull out, but have comfort in that, that Ahaya Shar Ahaya is in the midst of Israel going towards the day of judgment. And I'm going to continue to read, and it says, and none else, and my people shall ever, never be ashamed. In verse number 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young and old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids of those days, I will pour out my spirit. So we see this, and a lot of people go, that's Old Testament, Old Covenant. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 16. Verse number 16, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So, again, I had a little vision, a little thing that I seen, and it was only dealing with worship and how, for us as Israel, to build that relationship with the Most High, with our Creator, as well as with our families. And I think, I know for myself, when I worshiped with the brother last weekend, he showed me some things in myself and things that I've seen that I'm drawing back from olden days, from 19 years old, and things that me and my wife, we joke because we've been married 23 years, things that we talk about, we were babies and we had already grown old together. And as I teach these things, I taught so much of speaking, I forgot all the spirit that he already gave me. And these are all the things, when we do our worship, that we need to show this to the Most High, and give to our loved ones and to each other. But we're going to go into the Word, and when we read this Word, we're going to try to put it in the context of actually working and living in this spirit with the Most High, our Creator. First scripture we're going to look at, we're going to go to the Gospel, 36 and 40. Again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 and 40. And there was a question asked to him, and it said, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Yeshua said unto them, Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these, the two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. So when we look at this, we're going to go into one part of the law first, and that's going to be dealing with just how we love Ahiah and how we're supposed to show them that. So when we're talking about the last 2 weeks about that spirit, you know, the Father has given us a spirit of joy, of laughter. When we fellowship, those are things that we should be able to hear. Those are things we should actually plan around our fellowship with one another. We should plan on having music and song. We should plan on having dance to the Most High. I was going back and forth with some different things, just like with my wife. I remember one time the kids videotaped us dancing. Good little 4 or 5 minutes. But again, that's the same joy that we still should be dancing. But now we'll be dancing for the Most High. When we sing, we'll still sing. We'll sing for the Most High. There's kids and people that coach, and if they're at the same place that I'm at, I think football and basketball, all those things, or we shouldn't get our children involved in cheerleading, so on and so forth. Those things are sin. They're going to lead them into sin. But it doesn't mean that we should stop training our children at. It doesn't mean that we lost that spirit of being able to run and jump and have pleasure in those physical gifts that the Most High has given us. Now we got to learn how to train our men and young men and young women to be the warriors and the runners and the jumpers still, but we're just going to be doing that for the Most High. We don't need to do it for some football game or some basketball game. We can learn how to play with each other, going Monday through Friday during the week, but that's the spirit that the Most High has already given us. You know, those are the things that we must continue to keep doing. So we look at the two greatest commandments that the Most High has said. Now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. We know that's on Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, that's when the Father had his trumpet sound, and it was blown, and all the 12 tribes of Israel gathered around. And there he gave out these commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take thy name, thy Lord, thy God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those are the first four commandments that we have. And that's how we first can point to if we're heading in the right path of the relationship that we need to be building upon. Right there we can see, are we keeping the Sabbath day? Well, check. The seventh day is separate from all the rest of the week. It's separate from the first day of the week. It's separate from second, third, fourth, and fifth. All right, so we can see that. Do we have a bunch of graven images up there? Do we have things that have been dedicated to Moloch? Do we have things that have been dedicated to false gods and idols? And so if we don't have that, again, another check. We know that we're walking and building on a relationship, and it's a relationship out of love. But one of the things that, again, as we're going to get to see as we keep reading this word today, the Sabbath day is also built around rejoicing. I mean, we could take away, for example, we could take away Christmas, just like the one brother I could relate to when he came, told a story where he got rid of the Christmas tree, threw it away. You know, I did a similar thing. We stopped Christmas in this household, I guess about 4 years now or so, that we got rid of that false spirit, that false worship of idolatry that just keeps you confused. But now you need to replace it. And I know some people talk about Purim, the gifts there. You see that in Esther 9:27. But when I'm talking about replacing that spirit, now that same laughter, that same joy, all those things that you did before, all those years that you were able to build your family, your kids, your mother and father, now we do that with all our heart and all our mind for a higher. We build on those things. One of the funniest things is just about the relationship with my wife. She loves to decorate, loves to put things up in the home. And again, after with the brother, one of the things that came to my mind when I had that thing was, again, putting all that stuff up around my home. But was it? I saw myself doing it, but I could see my wife stopping me from doing it. And the funniest thing is, just like today, doing it, and she's like, what are you doing? And then she said, well, we can do this. We can make it look like this. So already, I can see the worry at work, because that's a passion that she has. That's one of the gifts in her spirit to make things look beautiful. So now we read the commandments, the Ten Commandments, so quickly, because that's one of the things we're building together on a short term. Father is so special. He'll tell you to seek ye first his kingdom, and all that righteousness will be added unto you. So when we're looking at keeping that Sabbath day, it may be something that you won't see at first, because again, we're talking about years as this being evolved towards my family. But he'll teach you what path you need to go on and where you need to walk to make sure all those statutes and commandments are being fulfilled in righteousness the way he wants to be fulfilled. Because only with the Father's word will anybody be changed. So if you're giving that person that word, that's how they'll end up being changed. But you'll have to find a way to get them into that word. So that's one of the things, again, when I slept, he put upon me, and everything that he showed me that already came through. Even one of my older sons were reading the word to me for about an hour, my oldest boy, about 2 days ago. But I did something different for that. But those were the first four commandments. And that's how we're looking at having a relationship with the Creator. And we're going to go into Colossians number 3. So in Colossians number 3, we're going to read about what some of the things that the Creator will look upon us as bad, and what things he'll look upon us as good, and then also things that he'll expect us to do. So it reads, verse number 1, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So don't set your affections on cars or money, jewelry, not mammon, none of these things. But set your things on the kingdom that the Father is going to give to us. Set your affections on the clean that he's already told us what it is. Verse number 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We have verse number 7. The which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye are also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or non-circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, of God ruling your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we looked at the law that points us to what day, on what times that we should worship, not forsaking the assembly of each other. But here, we're going to continue reading. But it also tells you in what manner that you should come. Put away your anger, put away wrath, put away malice, blasphemy, filthy communications. None of these things place when you're worshiping and you're dealing with the Most High. You can't even have these things around you when you're trying to come and have a relationship. If you're trying to have a relationship with a man or a woman and they're worth their salt in this world, as people like to say, and you start swearing and cussing and you're all around them and the only thing you talk about is pornography or some other filthy thing, they wouldn't want to be around you. So when you're coming to the Father's Sabbath day and you're coming into this relationship which you have with the Most High, these are the things you'll cast aside. When we stop at verse 16, again, we know we'll get all our teaching out of the law. But it tells you to admonish each other in psalms and hymns and singing. I mean, getting music together, coming together. Israel, we have some of the beautiful voices. We sing well. Men and daughters, there should be no reason why, you know, they call it song competitions or... But there should be no reason why we men and brothers can't get together. If you know how to rap, make up your words and your things for the Most High. Put them together so people can see them, that we need to come together and do those things. We should be singing to the Most High each week. We should be singing with joy and praises. We should be singing to one another. If you got a voice, if you got it. A musical instrument. If you have a physical talent where you're stronger, be more. You should be teaching those children of Israel to be trained up, to be physically fit. Just last Sabbath day, my brother V was talking about how on the last days we'll be walking over stubble. I mean, but we got to be physically fit. If we ain't keeping the commandments in our temple is a horrendous blasphemy. Obese, can't move, arteries clogged. You can't be walking over nothing like that. So, men of Israel, we still need to be training up our young ones, but not the way these heathens have put it in place. We got to do all these things for the Most High. We got to be singing, dancing, lifting, educating. Sunday, that first day of the week, until we get to Friday, that sixth day, 1 through 6, everything to build up the kingdom. And then we put it all together. But first, we got to put together with the Most High for every man and every woman. You and yourself and your heart should be already singing to the Most High. And I know time and time and time again, I've been taught the word and said the word, but this is more the stuff I need to put in my own life, my own actions, my own deeds. So we're going to pick up at verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to Ahiah, Father by him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, as it fits into the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or men pleasers, but in singleness of heart and fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive a reward and inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But ye that doeth wrong shall receive a wrong which have done, and there is no respect of persons. So all these things we're going to touch on as we continue with the lesson. We're going to touch on the next part will be husband and wives. And it gives you also indication of, just like he said, that the first two commandments in Matthew 22, 36, and 40. And they all could hinge on that. First, loving Ahiah, and then loving everybody else as you would love yourself. So here we start off knowing that how we need to come towards the Father here in Colossians, all the things we need to put away and stay away from. And then he starts breaking it down for you, from husband to wives, to children, to servants. And we're going to go in that same order to make sure that we're building a relationship with the Most High, that the one that we're actually building is pleasing in his sight, and we're walking the way in a manner according to his will and his way. So that was Colossians we just read. Now we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians number 5. And again, we're looking at this word for the sole purpose of making sure that we're doing what the Spirit wants us to do, that we see the law. The law tells us everything that we need to know. Now we want to keep that law in the Spirit that the Father has provided for us. Keep in the Spirit that He will pour out on those last days with us, but we want to keep sure and keep in mind what spirit we're doing all things. So there's so many out there, and we need to identify them. So we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of your Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And with the fear of God becomes all under verse number 22, Ephesians number 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, where we get the name Messiah. Verse number 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, neither having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we're going to stop right there. There's a couple more verses in the Ephesian letter. We'll come back to that in a second. So right now we're going on to the point of what is a relationship for a husband and a wife, with Yeshua being your head, and the things that we need to do, their relationship. Knowing that at the heart of the relationship, especially if he's a righteous man, needs to be the commandments. We need to know that at the heart of that relationship, that will be our father's time, that the family would know that his time is different from everybody else's time, that they'll know that your word, excuse me, the father's word is the most important word in all their lives. And this is where we're looking at right now in Ephesians chapter 5. And he said that the husband and wife, they should leave and join and be one together, their own flesh. You see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, give me 1 second, I'm going to go there real quick so I can read that to you. Because he's not making up a different doctrine. What he's doing is speaking the same words that was given to him from creation that the Father passed on when he breathed life into our bodies and made us a living soul. So Genesis chapter 2. And down at verse number 18. And it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed the beast of the field, and every fowl in the air, and brought him unto Adam to see what he could call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was his name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast and every field. But Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. He took one of his ribs and clothed up his flesh instead of thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, so she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and not ashamed. So right there, what we read Ephesians goes straight back to what we see in Genesis, a greater understanding of how we are one flesh. Even when the 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll read this letter, 6:18, tells you that sexual sin is a sin against its own body. And you got to understand that the man and woman are now flesh. So if you're having sex with other women, and that the woman's having sex against other men. Again, they're corrupting that body, which is made one. They bring uncleanness and disease, all those things, into the home, into the marriage, which is actually a sin against them very selves, corrupting the very seed that the Father blessed them to have when they joined together. So when we look at this relationship, when it comes to man and woman, at the center of it, of course, is the Word. But you got to find a way to have that Spirit that the Most High has given to you poured out upon your wife and upon your children, so you got to continue glory that He's already adorned, ordained for you to have. Again, like one of the things I said I just did was the decoration. I'm going to continue with that. So those are things that me and my wife will be able to look at in the Word for ourselves. My son, he was into politics, so we found things in the Bible to read that goes from the law and the commandments with politics. All these things is things that some men are so talented in singing. Just like I was with the brother again, he showed me things that all of Israel, we all should be doing. If you sing, sing the Bible to your wife. Then once you come to the rest of the congregation, if your household is learning to have a relationship with the Most High, then you'll sing to the rest of the congregation too. If you're a poet, you write those things down to your wife. Women, if you are a great cook, and this goes for man too, if you're a great cook, you need to be able to cook and bring those things first to the household. We're talking about healthy cooking. We're so indoctrinated with that macaroni and cheese, which is bad for us, and all these other things that are bad for us. We're talking about cooking clean for the Most High. So not all women know how to cook. Not all men know how to cook. But these are things that we must come together and show each other. Me and my wife, we've cooked together for years. Again, it's one of the things we're going to start doing on our preparation for the Sabbath days, making meals together. These are all the things that Satan put as a memory block in my mind. Only thing I saw was my Father's Word. But my Word, or my Father's Word, lives in all my life. It permeates every action, every word, and every deed. So there's no need for me to ask me what I'm cooking, because we cook together. Every time we used to have holidays and all those things, we made meals. So these are the things that whatever you used to do to the world, and it was something that your wife and your family got into, you bring those things to your family with all praises to Ohio. And he'll grow that spirit that needs to grow inside that family. He'll grow that relationship, most importantly, with him and you, but with everybody else that comes around you. And those are the things we're looking at. So a man and woman, the first thing you need to do is separate from this world. Don't listen to your mom and your daddy. Don't be listening to all those other people. Don't be listening to the TV. Don't be listening to Real Wives Atlanta, Real Lives Chicago, whatever reality TV show on. We need to learn how to separate ourselves and spend our time with the Most High, but with each other. The things that bring us joy. Again, I'm going to use some examples from the things in my past. Me and my wife used to do, like, we used to walk on the beach. Again, we need to do that now, but, man, I don't know, put a headset on and we could listen to songs together, ones that praise the Most High. All these things are simple things that we've done for 20-something years. Now that, you know, just a short time with the Spirit, I can see all these other things that happen and that can happen because the Most High is in the center of all these things. So He's already blessed me to have in this world. So we're talking about building that relationship with your loved ones, with the Most High. So if you're a husband and wife, the first thing you do is after you cling to this word, to separate yourself from everything else. Now, if you have righteous elders that's in your life, those are keeping the commandments, then they'll be able to tell you the same exact thing, to shut down everybody else and cling to the Most High. And at the same time, again, if they're righteous elders keeping those commandments for the Most High, they will also teach you that it's pleasant and good for you two to be alone and learn how to worship together. So that's important. So now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, we're looking at one of the letters of Paul. And we're looking at a relationship between a man and a woman, and building those things for the glory of the Most High. So when he talks about praying, it'll be the same on earth as it is in heaven. These are the things that we are practicing to have happen. Concerning the things, wherefore ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That was verse 1. And it continues to read, number 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Verse number 3. And let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also to the wife unto the husband. The wife have no power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband have no power over his own body, but the wife. So the first four verses we read, now concerning the things where he wrote unto me, is good for a man not to touch a woman. So there's things that we're going to point to that abstinence is not bad, especially if you're not married, if you're not in a relationship that is committed to the Most High. It'd be good for you not to touch a man or a woman. You don't need to be having sex if you're not married. It's simple. Again, we're talking about the law. And those things are hard because by nature we are sexual creatures. We like to have sex, men and women alike. That's the reason why we surround ourselves with brothers and sisters that want to keep the word. That's the reason why it's important for us to come together and stay away from unclean gatherings. Stay away from unclean. Can't go to clubs and discos and all those things that you see, the people of the world, at your jobs and friends. And if you're on Facebook, stay away from Facebook unless, again, you're dealing with righteous people. But all those people are going out to those things. We'll remember when he said in the one thing we read, don't be a drunkard. Don't be getting drunk, but you should be having the spirit. So those people be getting drunk so other spirits will get into you. And part of the things that will happen is, again, having sex when you don't need to be having sex. So he tells you there it's good not to touch a woman, but nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. So one of the ways you avoid fornication is to have your own wife, but you're not getting married just so you can hump around all the time. You're getting married if you're not married because you decided that you found yourself, what? A helpmate. Someone that's going to help you keep the commandments. Someone that's going to help you live a righteous life. Someone that's going to help bring up your children in the law. Someone that's going to help you with a good, wholesome relationship. And that's the same thing there is for a woman. If you don't have a husband, what you're looking for is a helpmate that's going to help you grow in the body. Now, let me ask you something. can something help you grow that never sees you or never touches you? See, the Most High is faithful to us. And that's where the adversary comes in and tells you lies. Because I'm going to get water, I'll get apples and oranges, I'll get herbs, I'll get meats to eat, which he's already ordained for me. He's been faithful. He's given me the sun to make vitamin D. He's been faithful. Now it's up to me to continue being faithful, and it doesn't matter. Whatever's in your life, you need to be faithful to the Most High. So if you're looking for a relationship, again, it's got to be centered around that law, but bring all that spirit that you have, that joy, that laughter, that cooking, whatever it may be, you bring that into relationship with the Most High, and you bring that into relationship with your husband and with your wife. If you're looking to have a relationship, make sure you're building that relationship you're looking to have off those things. And that's what's called a strong foundation. And we read in verse 4 where the husband has no power over his own body and the wife doesn't have no power over hers. So, again, we read earlier where we don't abuse our own self, so you shouldn't abuse your wife. Right? We wouldn't cut and do those things to ourselves. One thing that Paul one time prayed for his infirmities, all those things that happened to him. Paul was beat almost to death. He asked those things to be taken away. And Yeshua said, in your infirmities, that's where you'll find me. So in all these things that's in my body, all these things that's from my past, you're going to find the high in those things in me. Those things now are not those things that are, somebody asked me, they were talking about a tattoo. Somebody asked about those things now. I have no problem. I'm never going to get another one. But I know now that the reason why I won't get another one, because the high has brought that to my intelligence, that in my flesh is where he's supposed to reside. So I wouldn't get anything marked or pierced or changed on my body, because that's not my body anymore. It's my wife's. My wife can't do the same thing with her body. She's not going to walk around with somebody's name on her booty or all these different things that the world will tell you that it's fine and decent for you to have, because it's not her body anymore. But we don't take advantage of something that we love. So the same way we will treat our body with all the kindness and the respect that it deserves, the same way we will show reverence to the Most High, that's the same way we will show to each other with our own bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. And it says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. That Satan tempts you not for your, sorry, I butchered the word sometimes. But verse number 6. But I speak this by permission and not of condiment. For I would that all men, or even as myself, but every man have a proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Verse number 8, and I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So here he's talking to the married as well as the single. He's telling you it'll be better to stay, as we talk about some of the Essenes. Their name will be called the faithful ones, that they even stayed away from being married because they gave their whole life to the service. And here we see widows that he talked about in the single, that it's better for you to stay in a state where you're going to have accidents in your life, that you're not going to go ahead and have those evil fornications or those evil sex things or those things just because you have a sexual desire and a sexual need. It's better for you to abstain right now. And if you cannot abstain, you said let yourself get married. But again, as you're going to get married, make sure you're picking out a husband or a wife that wants to walk in those commandments. And, you know, you're going to have to be able to test those things by their fruit and let that stuff grow. We're so quick when we come together with fellowship that we want to see a fellowship or a bond or a relationship be perfect right then and there. That, I've been talking to you in a relationship with somebody about 2 or 3 weeks now. I haven't seen no change yet. But the Most High had to put up with our butts, in my case, for 45 years. And I still got to change in a whole bunch of stuff. But we don't want to have somebody change so much quicker for us. Let the Most High do the changing. What you got to do, if it's yourself, keep those commandments. You keep living righteously. You seek the kingdom of the Most High. He's going to add to you everything that needs to be added. And he'll take away the things that need to be taken away. The Most High will do that. But you make sure you are walking in a good relationship with him. And he will let you bear righteous fruit. We're going to pick it up at verse number 11. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried to her husband. And let not be her husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which have the husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. We had verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 7. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So here he even's talking about a relationship where you have a husband that's willing to keep the faith and a wife who's willing to keep the faith, and the other spouse, is not willing to. Or at the point in time, they're not as far along in the walk as they are. I'm sure when Miriam had her problems with the Ethiopian woman. You get the ignorance within it's about color, but it was all about the commandments. I'm sure that she wasn't even close to keeping some of the Most High commandments as they're ordained or promised to. But Moses and the Most High put an end to that filth that comes out of people's mouths because they're so quick to want to put a yoke or some form of axe the Father has put a bond on, that he put a covenant relationship on. The same way that he said that Miriam had to be accursed, let anyone that does that, let them be accursed. Because only the Father can make that change from one way or another. Again, your job as a faithful husband and or the faithful wife, keep walking in those commandments. And he tells you clearly not to put them away. Now, he also will tell you Romans 7, and then we'll go back into the law. I'm not trying to focus on this point, so we won't. But he also talks to you about what is the only thing for divorce. So you'll got some people that have been divorced and all these things. And again, if it's for adultery, that it's all right. in the Most High's eyes, that most of the cases that people are divorced from are things that the Most High would tell you that, you know, you're supposed to be long-suffering and patient with those things, that you're supposed to walk in those commandments, and if you're actually doing that, he can make the change. That's the way you see the glory of the Most High. Again, when those things happen to my family, again, I'm going to speak from the basis of my family. I already know for a fact when those changes take place and or my wife or any of my children, I already seen some happening to my oldest child. It's gone. She'll be back home. All praises to my higher this weekend from her trip in Colorado. But when they make those changes, it won't be because they're trying to follow after what I'm saying or what I'm doing, because those things mean nothing. I can tell my wife tomorrow, we can go somewhere and put a little around your head, and she'll do it. But it means nothing to her if she's not keeping those commandments. Again, once she learns how to keep those commandments, all the things that need to be manifested out in her will be. Same way with my children. So when that change takes place, only thing I would be is in the way if I'm trying to do something, because the Most High is going to do the work. Only thing I got to do is keep teaching. Only thing I got to do is keep living. But more importantly, what I see now, the same spirit that he gave to me, I need to do that same spirit still, but all in the glory, all my efforts to the Most High. Me and my kids can lift weights together, and they're grown men now. My youngest is 19, the other one's older. We can lift weights. We usually talk about the Bible, but now, same way we lift weights, we're going to put scriptures about it. How many bench presses somebody's going to do, how many curls they'll do, and all that stuff. Again, we'll give the glory to the Most High, because we're going to make him inside that lifting thing we do. You know, and that's the joy that I see in the Most High, because when he talks about all those things that he can make clean that were unclean, only thing you got to do is be patient, let him work. You keep those commandments, and most important, you look for that spirit that's in that Father, and he'll pass it on to everything you need to. Just seek his kingdom. But here we are looking at there about the unclean, but they are now, they're holy. So you got to keep that word going. We're going to continue at 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So if he called us to peace, we shouldn't be warring against shalom. We'll touch more of that when we get to the children aspect of the same thing with your wives inside your family. There shouldn't be a whole bunch of warring and fighting. They should be able to see the Most High working in you. You can't be an a-hole if you're the man. You can't be a nasty woman if you're the woman. That spirit of the Most High has got to be working in that relationship. You've got to be putting him first, especially if you're the believer or she's the believer. I'm not telling you to lay down to the evils of the world and take those things in, but keep putting the Most High first in those things, and you should have peace in your household. In verse number 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how thy knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? And it's a good question. For thou knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband. So, do you know if you're going to save your husband? Or do you know if you're going to save your wife? I've read this so many times while I was in the past, coming into the Word, and I always pray that the Most High would show me the way, and it was so, again, it's so cool. I thank Brother Virtus, because I saw not just him, but I saw another generation moves doing those things. I mean, I'm telling you, they were quick to go to worship with no TV, no instruments. One kid was way upstairs in the balcony. You can only see him in the mirror. They getting down, and all for the worship. They just knew what, as we would say, what time it was. And it was joy there. It was such a thing. And we already have grandkids. All these things we can incorporate into our lives. And I encourage all of Israel, If you can sing, you can dance, all these different things we can do, we should be doing these things for the utmost and the most high. We know how to train. We should be training all these things for the most high. Then we should come together, unite, because we need to be physically fit. If you know things about herbs and spices, you should be doing these things and teaching them to yours so they can teach them to ours, and vice versa. In this vineyard, there's so many people, and we all have a purpose. We got to unite that purpose in our households, but then come together so we can share it with one another. So he asked that question, do you know if you are the one who is saved? But we're in verse number 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called uncircumcised? Let him now be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Called being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is a Lord freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So, we're looking at this, and we just got done reading a good part about what it is to have a relationship, single, married, with faithful in the word and unfaithful in the word, and it all still hinges on, as he was talking about, if you're circumcised, if you're able to cut that dead skin off, if you're able to cut off that dead spirit out of your body, out of that flesh, and you're walking those commandments, stay that way. In the same way for any woman. And if you're both doing it, blessings to both of you. But stay like that. And if you're not circumcised, if you haven't cut away the things of this world, to be circumcised. All right, verse number 23. Ye are brought with a price, but not ye with the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy from the Lord to be faithful. And I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. All right, so we're going to stop there with our brother. Again, it was some of the things I was talking about earlier. I just wanted to finish that up. So, if you're not married, it's all right for you to stay abstain from having sex right now. It's all right for you to abstain from getting into those things, because you don't want to have to go to hell, or you don't want to have to be separated from our Father just because we have no self-control. And the self-control deals with all things, from the things we put inside our temple. Self-control happens with the things we look at on TV, the images. Self-control is all those things. That's a gift from the Father. We look at that gift from the Father, and we make sure that we have those things in our heart, in our mind. All right. So one of the things we're going to look at now, we're going to look at Proverbs 7. We're going to focus on men. My brothers in the word. So Proverbs 7. It's a good little thing it has in all men, because we are flesh and sin works in our very members. We got to be ever vigilant to be faithful to the Most High. We got to be ever vigilant to keep our thing in our pants. You know, we got to be ever vigilant to not to seek out the attentions or the affections of another woman. So that's what we're going to read in this Proverbs letter. Give me 1 second, because right now my thing is acting up a little bit. Let's try it one more time. So we're looking at Proverbs 7. I'm going to go to another tab. Give me one more second. I'm sorry. Satan's, he got his foot all in the air, so he's trying to mess with the internet lines real quick so I can get to the scripture I want to get to. We're going to pick up to verse number 6. And it goes, actually, we're going to start at 1. We're going to go from 1 to 21. It says, my son, Proverbs 7, verse number 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon thy table in thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that thy may be from a strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So we start here in Proverbs number 7. And again, this one part here, we're looking at the husbands. We're looking at the men that have committed their lives to the Most High. And he said, keep these words that I am speaking to you today. Lay them up. Put them in your heart. Write them down with your fingers. Live by them. We're the apple of the Father's eye. And he's talking specifically about a man and a woman. And read number 5 again before we move on, that they may keep thee from a strange woman. And when he's talking about a strange woman, he ain't talking about no blue woman. He ain't talking about no green woman. He ain't talking about something you never seen before. When he's talking about a strange woman, he's talking about one don't belong to you. He ain't talking about your wife. All right? If you're a married man, you shouldn't be looking at no woman. You shouldn't be having those urges. The sin's going to start with your very thoughts and what you're looking at. For a strange woman would flatter with her words. Verse number 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, and passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of the hearts. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with impudent faith said unto him, I have a peace offering with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Verse number 16. And I have decked my bed with covering of tapestry, with carved works, and fine linen of Egypt. And I perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. With her much fierce speech, she caused him to yield, and with flouting of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, and the oxen go into the slaughter, or as a fool, the corrections, the stocks. So this woman, again, we understand that Satan is more subtle than any beast on the earth. She came in with subtle in his heart, Tyre. She came beautifully. Wasn't ugly. Wasn't unpleasing to look at. Telling him that her husband is gone on a trip. He ain't coming back no time soon. Got herself all perfume, smelling nice, smelling good, but looking like a hoe. As they said, a harlot. And this man, sunken in for her wiles, her lows, and decided to cheat. First of all, he was cheating against the Most High. He's married, as she was married. They defile their flesh. Again, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6:18 so we can get a better understanding when I'm saying this. And that sin is against the body, and the two of you must become one flesh. So again, brothers and sisters, it's important before you're getting married, know who you're getting married to. Don't rush into getting to bed with someone, the one that bed most of the women in California, because that's the part we live at. If they live in, let's say, Salinas is out here by me, big city of Salinas. If they slept with 50% of the women in Salinas, don't be so quick to get married to them anyway. Right? Don't defile your temple in such a way. But us married men, us men that have made a commitment to the Most High, that's the reason why, again, we need to come together, be strong, because this image that we see that's coming out, this word that he told us to what? Write it down, lay up the commandments, keep these words, write these on the tables of your hearts. We see women trying to get themselves smelling good. We see these women dressing like hoes. They don't have no shame to their bodies, breasts coming out of their shirts. It's the same images that if you're watching TV all the time, and I can't stand the TV, we're about to cut down even less channels now. Images that this adversary projects to us all the time and tell you that these is the way that you're supposed to look like. You tell the women of Israel that this is the way they're supposed to adorn themselves. And here we're talking about what it is to be in a relationship with the Most High. Right here, if you keep these words, we understand if you're a woman, you can't dress like a harlot. Right? So we all know what a harlot looks like from all the images that the world tells us, okay? You can't go around trying to be seduced. And us men, we have to be ever vigilant about this. We can't be in places that's going to put women on us like this. We can't be around women that dress inappropriately. We can't be looking and having conversation with women that are telling you that their husband is gone, or I'm just looking for a man. If you're married, and one of the first things that we talked about was our own communication that we have, not having filthy speech. That goes definitely for the Sabbath day, but that walk that we need to have has got to be throughout the week. So I refrain from, I get worried by any man that wants to, if a woman has a head of her household, if a man is talking to her online anyway, because that could bear out bad fruit. We got to be ever vigilant on keeping our Father's commandments. And there's no singing or dancing or no spirit that we can bring to this unclean behavior. The only spirit we bring to this is obedience. We recall all the words of the law And then if we get into this situation, then being strong, we call on the higher and we rebuke that spirit that's coming around us. We rebuke that woman so we can keep our bodies clean. All right, so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to read 17 and 18. This will be real quick. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So the husband together, they come together and they become one body. And it tells you in verse number 18, flee for fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without, but he that committeth fornication sinned against his own body. And we got to understand when we're talking about this, your own body, your temple, where the Holy Ghost is supposed to reside inside you, you're sinning against that. You're causing that Holy Ghost to flee out of that temple. I wish we could understand that. But when he also tells you sinning against your own body, you're doing that same thing if you're a husband cheating on your wife or if you're a wife cheating on your husband. That body's got to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read 19:20. We'll end up the chapter. And the question number 19 is what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the spirit that he blew into us, the higher gave to us in the very beginning, that belongs to him. That's his spirit. We glorify him. If we're a husband and a wife cling together and we become one flesh and we keep those commandments, we glorify the Most High. I'm going to leave out with this one, Colossians 3:19. And we read it once earlier, but it says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. We know at the end days that the Most High would turn those waters bitter, that the seas and everything behind us become so bitter that you can't drink, and one thing will cause you is death. So when we read that part in Colossians, when he told you not to be bitter against your wives, don't turn those things to death. Don't turn what the Most High has given you to something that's vile and unclean. You know, we are the heads of our families, but we're the heads because the Father put us that way. We think we're the heads because we have done something so special. The only reason why we're the heads, so that's what the Father wanted us to be from the get-go. So the best thing we can do is grow up our families the way that he has told us to do from the get-go. So wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. I mean, he put us the head over the body to rule the same way that he ruled us, to tell us, whenever we knock and we sup, let him in. He will abide inside of us, and we will abide inside of him. So when we're coming to the Sabbath day and we're coming to the having relationship with the Most High, the most important thing I want to tell us, men and brothers of Israel, all those things, all those gifts that the Most High adorned you with already, bring those to the Most High and bring those inside your relationship and give those things back over to the Most High, and he will bless those fruit. And again, I give a lot of thanks to my brother Bertis that opened his home up and shared that Sabbath day with us, because some of the things that he talked about was some of the struggles and the burdens that he had along his journey. He's a man in, I think in his mid-50s now. I'm not sure. I think he's a decade older than me, so he's in his mid-50s. So he was talking about all those things that was hard in his relationship and how they got from point A to point B. And I heard his wife talking as well. You know, she was nervous about opening up her home, you know, to strangers. Because everybody that say Lord, Lord, ain't really talking about Lord, Lord. Even when you start with fellowship with strangers and people, as time grow on, you can see different things that pop out of them. Again, you have to be patient. Give the credence to the Most High, because you pray that the reason why he brought you together with other people is so that the gifts that he brought in the vineyard on your side can be manifested in their vineyard as well, and vice versa. So the body can grow to be even stronger. So that's the reason why we have to worship with our families, but also come together and make the whole body of Israel stronger. So, men and brothers, if you're good with sports and all those different things, I encourage you, because it's one of the things I'm going to try to start picking up now. Then we're just going to keep training, just because it's a thing we can do. We can make some games out of it, have some fun so we don't hurt our bodies. We get stronger in the process. Like I said with my sons, we're going to lift weights still, but we're going to put some Bible verses inside of it for how many reps and different things we do. Because, again, we've done that for years, working out with amongst another. And I'm going to do the same thing with my grandboys when they come by. My wife, all the things that we did in so many years past, you know, we're going to do the same thing, but now we're just going to do them for the Most High. Again, Satan is subtle, and he'll work those little things against you where it may be as bright as the morning star now to me, but he kept them in the dark a little bit. But again, we give all praises to Ahiah Sharahiah that he led me to a good little righteous family that I could see those things. Again, it was a great joy, and I wish that most of y'all can have been able to see, at least felt the spirit that I've seen. I've seen the family transition from one thing to another thing. The things of the world were left outside on the world. He just opened his door up. And I'm not saying that this man was some form of some unrighteous man above all righteous men. He's got sin in his life just like I do and Brother V do. He's got doctrine things that the Most High is going to have to straighten out just like me and Brother V do. And any person that speaks this word has, because only the person that have all the answers and all the solution at the end of the day is the Most High. But we do our best in the land of our captivity. We try to keep these commandments. But again, when you're trying to build this relationship with the Most High, I'm going to keep a monitoring factor of what I'm doing. And one of the things I'm going to do, because I'm going to start doing it this weekend for the Sabbath day, I'm going to do a little video, because we didn't do all these things before on our Sabbath day. So we're going to come together, just a family. We're going to keep the Sabbath. I'm going to try to videotape it. I'll probably plug a little bit over there on YouTube. The YouTube will be on Ahiah's Good News Channel. That's the name of the place on YouTube. You'll find it. And another thing that I did today was I ordered three shofars. And I ordered three shofars because me and my sons are going to learn how to play the shofars and blow the shofars. They weren't actually that expensive. Paid a little bit over $100 for all three. But again, that's a good thing for the men of Israel to do, because me and my sons are going to start practicing. I'm sure we're going to sound terrible. But hey, any other men that have young boys that are trying to get this walk going, you can do that too. Buy some shofars. Maybe we all can come together one day and show how far along we come along. But that's some of the things I'm going to start posting on my little YouTube page. It's just the start of where our fellowship is. And I'm going to let the Most High, just like how you can do your weight and all those other things on time, and see how he grows our body out here in this little vineyard in Seaside, California. I'm going to stop here in the lesson, because the next part I'll go into is going to be got a little length to it as well. So we'll pick up this next week on building a relationship with the Most High. We left off with husband, men and women. But we're going to talk about the children. You go to Exodus 20, Ephesians 6. We're going to go for yourself, Galatians 5, and then we'll go for the single folks too, trying to find a relationship with another person in the walk, and how to try to make that grow and cultivate it. And again, the most important thing, if you get anything out of this, give all glory to the Most High. He will lead you and light your path up so you'll find the right way, because he's faithful. He's faithful to do those things. And to all my brothers and sisters in Israel, shalom. Peace be unto you. To my brother V and sister Tamar, peace be unto you. Especially, I enjoy every time we get to come together. It's a blessing for me. It helps my spirit. And again, I'm thankful for y'all. Hope y'all are growing the admonition of the Lord in the way he sees fit. And I'll talk to you on our next Sabbath day. And shalom, Israel. Goodbye.
Listen, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham. I ain't no Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you all up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy everywhere I look. I see you, some of y'all say you Egyptian. You can't read the hieroglyphics, you don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cuz you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found, but all your dates are